Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Buckle up for the Thursday edition of the News Roundtable. Good morning, everybody. My name's Quaid. I'm joined in studio by Steve Bull, by the board pressing the buttons. Scott Hardy in his assigned seat, ready to deliver the latest news from the WTAD newsroom. Coming up on the back half of the show today, we're going to get to things that got bumped yesterday. The task force to reduce property taxes hasn't turned in their homework. Remember, this was the 88-member task force with all the different subcommittees that was supposed to figure out a way to reduce property taxes. So far, no. And it doesn't look like they're going to be able to turn in their homework until at least the end of the year. And I don't know that it'll happen at that point in time. Representative Deanne Mazzocchi has chimed in on what she believes is going on, so we'll get into that on the back half of the show. But first things first.
Well, actually, Quaid, before you do that, I would like to point out the fact that something that neither of you have noticed yet, that all three of us are wearing the same variant of the same type of blue top, where it is like a dark blue warm top with a little zip-up on the front, and our collars are all up. Have you noticed that?
Not until you said it.
Well, actually, I'm sure the listeners are riveted that we're all wearing, it seems like, the same uniform. Because we all also have on
khakis.
Yeah. So
tan khaki pants, yeah.
As soon as I saw us, I was reminded of the character Tobias Funke from Arrested Development and the classic line that he had about himself, which I don't know that I'll refer to right
Thanks.
Now.
Thanks. So you set up a joke that if people who don't know the show aren't going to be able to get because it's really not proper for air.
No, it is not. No, it involves the Blue Man Group. Let's just put it that way.
You'll have to tell me off air.
Are you familiar with Arrested Development, Steve?
No. I mean, I'm familiar with it. Never watched it. No.
Oh, you need to watch the first three seasons.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's some comedy.
You can stop after the first three.
It's comedy gold, those first three seasons.
All right. Yeah, it is. All right.
Now, please proceed.
All right. Now that you know what we're wearing, everybody, and that we're dressed the same, because I guess we've all synced up in some subconscious way. If you're wearing a blue pullover that has a half zip and khakis, welcome to the club. You've synced up with us as well. Now, in with the latest that doesn't have to do with what we're wearing for the WTAD Newsroom. Say good morning again to Scott Hardy.
Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. The Quincy Public School District plans to hold an informational meeting today about a learning program designed to bring in new teachers. That meeting about the competency-based learning program will start at 6 p.m. in the QHS library. The program allows QPS to hire college students studying to become teachers up to a year and a half in advance. Appearing earlier this week on WTAD's Mary Griffith Show, QPS Personnel Director Lisa Otten gives an example of one recent hire.
We have, at the high school right now, we have a finance major that has never been in education. She was interested in teaching, and she has applied and worked through the competency-based waiver with us, and we were able to hire her at math classroom for the high school. The
program also allows anyone with a bachelor's degree to become a teacher and change careers. Last year, the district hired three competency-based teachers. So far this year, they've hired 11. A tri-state community organization based in Quincy is holding an event tonight celebrating those who have been generous with their time and money. Community Foundation, serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri, plans to hold its annual Friends of Philanthropy celebration today. That'll be from 5:30 to 7 at the History Museum at 4th and Main in Quincy. Community Foundation says it's holding the event in November, its anniversary month, to say thank you to the donors, nonprofits, and community partners who've made 22 years of giving, growing, and granting possible. Foundation says it's a free event. Quincy's Front Street is closed to traffic between York and Hampshire today. That, according to the City of Quincy's Engineering Department, they say that Front Street is closed until 5. That's so they can install a water line in the area. Of course, you'll need to find an alternate route of transportation. In a story that was first broken yesterday here on the News Roundtable, a Chicago newspaper is reporting that the phone of a Quincy resident and former lobbyist with close ties to Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan, has been tapped by federal authorities. The Chicago Tribune reported Wednesday morning that the cell phone of Mike McClain was wiretapped by the FBI as part of an investigation into the lobbying practices of ComEd. According to the story, recordings of phone conversations involving McClain, who lobbied for ComEd and parent company Exelon before he retired in 2016, are part of the expansive probe that's been ongoing for the past few months. McClain's Quincy home was raided by federal agents in mid-May as part of that investigation. The Tribune reports that it's not known if the FBI listened in on any calls between McClain and Madigan. The two have been friends for over 40 years, and according to the Tribune, McClain's widely viewed as one of the few people in Springfield who would have candid conversations about legislative and political strategies with the Speaker. McClain could not be reached Tuesday for comment by the Tribune, while a spokesman for Madigan had no immediate comment. A Quincy man's been accused of stealing over $100,000 from the business where he worked. The Adams County Sheriff's Office said Wednesday that it arrested Joseph Scoggins earlier in the day on one count of theft over $100,000. A report from the Sheriff's Office says they began investigating earlier this month a report of what they called, quote, an internal theft that had occurred within an Adams County business, end quote. Online records show that Scoggins is the marketing manager for Melrose International in Quincy. He's being held in the Adams County Jail without bond and is awaiting his first court appearance. A patch of black ice is getting the blame for a one-vehicle accident that sent a Coatesburg man to the hospital last night. The Adams County Sheriff's Department says 39-year-old Brian Harness was south on 60th Street near Ellington Road shortly before 8 o'clock last night when his car hit that patch of ice. According to a report, his vehicle then slid through the intersection and hit a tree. Harness was taken to Blessing Hospital with serious injuries. According to the crash report, Harness was wearing his seatbelt. And a Hannibal man was hurt in a one-vehicle accident Wednesday morning east of Palmyra. The Missouri State Highway Patrol identifies him as 29-year-old Austin Evans, says the accident happened around 5:30 a.m. on Missouri 168, 5 miles east of Palmyra. A report says that Evans was heading west on 168 when his vehicle went off the side of the highway and overturned. He was taken to Hannibal Regional Hospital with minor injuries. That is a look at the latest in local news. Of course, we'll have more for you throughout the afternoon right here on WTAD.com and on our social media pages, including Twitter and Facebook, and possibly some good news for those in the historic Quincy Business District coming from the state of Illinois. I don't even have it up on the website yet.
Really?
But that will be occurring here a little bit later on this morning.
So you have the beginnings of a story that you have to finish?
I've got it, but I'm just, you'll hear about it this afternoon and you'll read about it online at WTAD.com.
He's such a tease.
Yeah, he's very much a tease. Hopefully the website's back up by then.
I am.
All five of them are down right now.
Our websites, for whatever reason, are experiencing technical difficulties right now. So
that may be a while then.
So please stay tuned to the forthcoming newscast.
I'm wondering if a certain thing that we do on a Thursday morning may have led to that happening. Online, we do a little.
Think they have price deal?
I don't know.
It sold out quick.
Yes.
It was a real quick sellout again.
Yeah. I figured it would be.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but that's interesting.
Everybody loves Scotty. Sunspot.
Now says the server stopped responding.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, sir. It's 10:15. We'll take a timeout, and when we come back, the property tax task force, the 88 member tax task force. On property tax relief, they didn't get their homework done. We'll dig in to try and find out why, but I think I know the answer coming up on the back half of the news roundtable.
WTAD.
Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Yesterday, I was meaning to talk about this report that Cole Lauterbach put together at the Center Square about the massive 88-member property tax relief task force that got put together earlier this year. You'll remember, with all the subcommittees that had 7, 8, 9 members each. But if I remember correctly,
pensions weren't something that were allowed to be discussed or brought up. I may be confusing this or conflating it with a different group, but I believe that was part of this property tax relief task force was, we're not going to address pensions with this, even though in many cases that is the driving cost of a lot of these property taxes around the state. They were supposed to, when this group got put together back, it was August of this year, they had 90 days to hand in their report. That would have made the deadline Halloween, October 31st. That deadline came and went, and it doesn't look like that report is going to be turned in anytime soon because, well, the fall veto session ends tomorrow, and I don't think that that homework is going to be turned in tomorrow. So it looks like they're saying now maybe by the last day of the year they could get their report in. They are, the subcommittees are still making presentations. One co-sponsor of this group, Representative Deanne Mazzocchi, said that Republicans have offered up a number of suggestions, but she said that she's surprised because Democrats haven't shown any interest in creating actual legislation to take up those ideas, which gives you pause to say, well, what is the point of the property tax relief force if you're not actually going to try and address the problem of property taxes here in the state? I mean, the whole point of putting the force together is to acknowledge that property taxes are a problem in this state. And if some suggestions on how to address that were brought up, and there doesn't seem to be any interest in piecing together legislation to take up the ideas to fix it, then what are we doing? I mean, the fact that the homework and the final report hasn't been turned in kind of dovetails with that. Was this 88-member task force for show at the beginning of the day? Mazzocchi says the governor and their staff missed the deadline, so now we're going to be waiting until December 31st for the final report. Mazzocchi says, but obviously, if we don't even have a draft, it's very difficult for us to put input into a final draft. Previously, Mazzocchi has said that she thought the task force was basically just a mechanism for Governor Pritzker to promote his progressive graduated fair income tax. And if you take a step back and go, huh, all right, I could probably see this being a political thing, but at the same time, when you put together such a massive group of people to tackle what is a big problem here in the land of Lincoln, you better have an idea to have something come out of it at the other end instead of it just being something to ultimately point to the progressive graduated fair tax. Mazzocchi said that the idea ultimately she thinks they'll get to is that the state should pay more for local public schools, as that is the biggest driver of local property taxes. So if the state pays more, that would allow your local property taxes to then go down. But if the state's going to pay more, then that would have to turn around and come from the graduated, progressive, fair income tax. So it would come out of your income taxes instead. Those bills are still going to have to be paid. The pensions are still going to have to be funded to certain levels. So if it's not our property taxes that are being used to fund them, it's going to have to come from somewhere else. And if the governor thinks that ultimately it's that progressive, fair, graduated income tax that'll do it, I don't think that that's going to be the answer. Because haven't we already spent that money anyway? Where's it going to come from? I don't think that if there's an increase because of that graduated income tax, that pensions are going to be addressed through that so that property taxes in local communities could be lowered. Mazzocchi says, even if you were to raise income taxes in my district, my schools, however, would only get $100 for every $100,000 of new tax revenue that you would get from them. I'm assuming that she's pointing to the fact that they would go to pensions and that the schools themselves and the classrooms wouldn't see that money. It's because pensions are the driving force behind this. So if this is, as Mazzocchi says, nothing more
than a lot of movement and noise, not meant to actually fix anything directly, but to point to a different thing altogether, property taxes versus then income taxes. Couldn't we just have, you know, done a quick study to say we could address this with this other income tax, the progressive income tax, instead of going through the motions of putting 88 members together to then point towards it? Why don't we actually have the subcommittees do what they're supposed to do, like Representative Dan Mazzocchi is saying, and, you know, actually try and work on the problem? The problem, though, is going to end up back at the pensions. We all know what the root of the problem of this are, of this is. So it's kind of like saying if you can't address the pensions when it comes to property taxes, like you're fat, and we're going to put together a plan to figure out how to not be fat, how to lose weight. By the way, our diet, it cannot be brought up into any of this. Our caloric intake, we can't go there. You're not going to be able to get to point B unless you address the actual problem. There's no skipping over it. So we're stuck in neutral as far as property taxes go. Other than here at the, you know, county level, where our property taxes are going to be going up because of other costs being put upon the county, that we knew that this would come about. However, at the same time, at the state level in Springfield, this massive group of legislators doesn't seem to be moving forward with any real solutions towards what we're needing from them at this time, and what they were put there to do, specifically from this task force and the subcommittees. By the way, as we point towards that task force, the state is still wrestling with how they can move forward and bring in new revenue, but still be business friendly. The Chicago casino, separate from the other casinos in the state, is trying to work a deal where there'll be less revenue ultimately brought in so that it can be a little bit more business friendly to allow companies to come in and start up a casino in the Windy City. That creates a problem for the other casinos around the state because perhaps they've already got investors lined up and ready to go, but because the city of Chicago was more onerous about it, if they get the state to lessen their end of it, why wouldn't the other casinos that have been talked about and or being approved for different parts of the state say, well, why not us too? Why wouldn't we be allowed that? Why are there different rules for Chicago as opposed to the rest of the state? And that brings up, again,
which
a
the
good
city
question.
But the city would say, well, we have 3 million reasons why there's
we're Chicago. Rules. Right. And it comes back to then Chicago saying, well, we wag the tail. We wag the dog in this state. We don't have to play by the rest of yours. We expect special rules for us. And in many cases, Chicago has had that particular situation. The one thing I will say is that Mayor Lightfoot showed up in Springfield yesterday to make a push for the special casino revenue rules in the Windy City. But she also was making a push towards legislators getting behind addressing pensions. Yeah, she could have made a bigger statement on that during the teachers' strike in Chicago. That was really the moment, the platform to make that statement. But I guess better late than never. And I guess it's rare for a Chicago mayor to make the trip down to Springfield to be involved in that process instead of just sending people from their staff. So the fact that she actually showed up in Springfield to talk with legislators there about doing something about pensions is a step forward. Do I think she missed an opportunity during the Chicago teach? Yes. That was a huge opportunity, a huge platform and stage to begin this conversation, and it was the proper place to do it. Missed that opportunity? Okay. Get outside your box, head to Springfield to say we need to do something about this because something does need to be done. And as we've stated before, Mayor Lightfoot being an outsider for the most part in Chicago politics and to a greater extent Governor Pritzker can affect change when it comes to this. Being independently wealthy means he's not beholden to other people or the party itself when it comes to having that leverage put upon him. He's in a unique position to affect this change, and she can help. They can help each other. And we could help as well by letting them know and our legislators know that pensions are something that you can't ignore, and it needs to be addressed. And we're not going to get fixed moving forward financially until we do. That is the Thursday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You should be here, too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10.06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.